B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Happy, happy Thursday to all across Delaware Valley. So, we're off the bat. Let's get into last night. Sixers, Raptors. So, right off the bat, I think we are overreacting with that game on a much, many, many different levels. One, you lose Josh Richardson 4 minutes into the game, it changes everything. So we know how thin they are, right? When it comes to scoring and shooting off the bench and even in the starting lineup, right? Like, so we know that without Embiid, and then you lose Jay Rich 4 minutes into it, that there's going to be an issue. So the minute Jay Rich is out of the game, and you know you're playing the Sixers, what are you going to do? You're going to zone. You got to zone them up. That's how you're going to play. You just pack it in. You go, I'm going to take away your drives. I'm going to try to force you to shoot from the outside. So they took more threes than twos yesterday. And that's why you saw Shake Milton in the game. You got to come up with minutes for Jay Rich. Matisse was in some foul trouble. And, like, you know, they hung tough and ultimately lose down the stretch, but they hung tough. One of the things is that when they pack it in like that, and that's what they're going to do, if you don't have Richardson and Embiid, you're up against it. You got to make shots. Like, you know, I mean, they're not built to beat zones without Richardson and Embiid. Like, good zones. So, you know, you had a little bit of an issue when it comes to that. You know, I don't think we need to, like, go crazy and overreact. And we already are crazy and overreact every game. Now, here's the thing that worries you. Is that without Jay Rich, for any stretch, because of what he can do, like, he can score the basketball, right? He can shoot it. You're really counting on him a lot while you're waiting for Embiid. So that's a big deal going forward, especially when the schedule is what it is and it's nasty. So my concern lies in what happens. How do you navigate the next couple of weeks without the sky falling? Now, again, I'm sure Elton's going to try to, you know, they already knew that they needed some help off the bench when everybody's back and healthy. But you're going to have to figure this out, and you're going to have to navigate over the next couple of weeks. This is not like a death blow. This is not that it's not that big a deal in the grand scheme of things. You just got to can't collapse while you're waiting for guys to get back and healthy. So we'll dive into it, you know, how to navigate. You get the Lakers coming up on Saturday. You got some heavyweights in the near future. Over Super Bowl weekend, you got that whole stretch where you're playing Boston, you're playing Miami, and you're playing Milwaukee. So, and that's in, you know, that's next weekend. Into the following week, which is Super Bowl Sunday. It's Saturday before Super Bowl. You're playing Boston, and then it goes in. Then it goes Miami Monday, and then Milwaukee that Wednesday or Thursday. So that's kind of where it is. So we'll dive into that. I want to get into a bigger discussion today about the past. So we saw the McNabb and T.O. Twitter fight. So they go on this war about whose fault it is. Is it Donovan's fault? Is it T.O.'s fault? And it got me thinking, because my reaction was, I don't care. And it's funny, I was someone that, like, I am a nostalgic person. I think that people from our area, which is an old city, I think it's in our soil to be nostalgic. And when you have something like sports, which is almost a timeline of your own life, it's easy to be nostalgic. It's easy to look back because you love sports so much that it's a timeline. It's a constant, like guys like us, it's a constant throughout our lives. So every big moment in my life, I can point to some sort of sporting event. Any, you know, years and years and seasons, you just, it coincides, right? This is the timeline of your life. You turn 21 and you remember what was going on in sports, and you get married and you know what was going on in sports, and all these momentous occasions in our lives, they coincide with sports. So we're, I think, predisposed, and the fact that we're an old city. So we're predisposed to be nostalgic. But I got to tell you something. When it comes to the Eagles in 2004 and Donovan or T.O., I'm bored by it. I'm so aggressively uninterested in Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens and the Super Bowl in 04. And it's funny, obviously it all comes up because Andy's there, he's back in the Super Bowl, first time since 04, so it drums up a lot of the past. But quite frankly, and even Andy, and I like Andy and a lot, and know him well, and I'm rooting for him a week from Sunday. And I want to see him win. But as far as his tenure with the Eagles, hey, I thought, you know, gave us a lot of great times, and that's that. And, you know, I think he turned around the franchise. I think he had some a bigger hand in what we became. But when you win it in 2017, it's almost like AD versus BC, right? Does it really matter before the Super Bowl? BS, we'll call it, before Super? Does BS even matter? Does any of it really, who cares? Like the fact they won it, like I look back, it's hard to look back and go, oh, great memories. Like, I, you know, there's moments and, yeah, you know, there's certain things that stick out. But what does it really matter? The greatest moment that will never be trumped happened in 2017. And so, look at the other sports. It's why it's funny. The 93 Phillies. And guys my age, you're in your 40s, you go, oh, the 93 Phillies. And I never really understand it because once 08 happens, and I like those guys, 92 Phillies, the whole thing. They're, you know, it doesn't mean you don't like them or any of those guys, like the 04 Eagles. But once 08 happens, who cares about 93? 93 was just an almost. 2004 was an almost. And I wonder, it's funny, we talk about the Sixers, like, you know, and yesterday we had this discussion, Sixers versus Flyers and all this other stuff, this internal 4-for-4 things. And you start to go, well, wait a second. You know, 01 was great and it was a fun year. And I love Allen Iverson, but I'm into this team because this team can win it. Now, they still got lots to do and lots to get to and the whole thing. But the reason why the process was so important is to actually get back and have a shot year in, year out to win it. Like they did way back when I was a little boy. And they won it in 83. So 2001 and AI, God bless AI, but what was that era? Didn't mean anything. Hey, it was a nice ride. 2010 Flyers. Great ride. A lot of fun. You know, fun memories. 97 Flyers. Fun memory, fun ride up until Detroit. But other than that, like, what does it really matter? Even if we, you know, look at it from a totality outside of ourselves and our own intimate memories, It comes down to like the championship, like 08 Phillies and that era. I'll go back to that all the time and talk about that. That was the apex of Phillies fun. And so the Donovan T.O., I just go, I don't care. You know, Donovan was a good quarterback who had warts. T.O. was a great player who had serious warts. You know, ultimately, it was a failure. Ultimately, they should have won. They should have had a bigger moment together, and it couldn't work. But who cares? 2017, when the Eagles go on that amazing, magical ride, it renders it meaningless. Good morning, Chunis.
Hello, Anthony. How are you?
I'm good. Do you feel that way?
I feel the way you feel, and it comes a lot from you because, like you said, you are a nostalgic person. You're a very nostalgic person. You're a very artistic person. You can paint pictures from things that happened when you were a child to things from 10 years ago to things from 5 years ago. So it means a lot coming from you, and I feel the same way. I mean, there was the other day, the Phillies posted a video of Chase Utley hitting a inside the park home run. And my first thought wasn't even, wow, the glory days where they actually won. I heard the reaction of the crowd, and I go, wow, remember when the Phillies actually had people in the stadium? I don't go back to even think about Chase Utley. I go back to when the team was relevant and when the team was winning. The team, when the city was behind the team.
And it was a red October.
Yeah, exactly. So I wasn't even thinking about that individual moment. I was just thinking about the stadium having 45-plus thousand people in the building, which we haven't seen for a while now. So the McNabb TO stuff, I'm like you. I don't really care. I'm done with it. It's the same. It happens every year. There's a new beef every year between those two. Why do we still glom onto it?
Yeah, and then when you look back at both of them, two guys with lots of warts
who played what, a year and a half together.
Yes, you know that just doesn't really mean much.
Like you said, the what could have been if those two guys figured everything out. Maybe they do win a Super Bowl together. But here's the thing.
Well, I don't know. It didn't happen. It happened so quickly. And then blip, it was right. Over. And listen, I can give you chapter and verse. I wrote a book about it. You know, I remember that day up at Lehigh when traffic was snarled and Andy Reid couldn't make it to practice. Well, I look at it now and go, all right, well, what was the great meaning of it? Other than it ended with vomit on the field in Jacksonville. Right. All right, like it sucked. It was a disappointment in the end. It was a fun ride and a great time. And, you know, you get me on a day, we can talk about it. But, like, you know, being focused and living back then, it doesn't matter because ultimately it was a failure.
For me, that era
and 2017
was,
trumps it.
Yes, exactly. That era for me was getting into sports, right? Because I was 11
right.
When they got to the Super Bowl. I was 10 when the Sixers got to the NBA Finals. So that for me was my experience of getting really excited for games, like as a kid, and then feeling the heartbreak of my team losing. And I was probably crying those nights. But again, that was just that era of getting into the sports.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't understand. Like, there's times when, you know, you get into it, we talk about it, whatever. But it's hard for me to go back and be totally nostalgic. Like, if the Eagles hadn't won in 2017, oh, you best believe you talk about it. Like, that becomes more relevant because they're still in the chase, the great chase of a championship. That's still a big deal, the chase of a championship. All right, we got lots to get to. Busy day. Now, on the line is the father of the son who was allegedly assaulted by Gritty. Now, you know, quite frankly, this story, I don't know, doesn't really make much sense. But apparently, he wants to go on the record. So, coming up, we're going to hear from the father. And when you think about the comical element of it, that Gritty is involved in this altercation with a 13-year-old. So I don't know. Let's hear the man out, and let's hear what his side of the story is. Right here on the show, in public. Let him state his case. 610-632-0975. And today, I guess it's a non-throwback Thursday since I'm not nostalgic today. It's Cuz Radio with the Tunis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. All right, it's 10:27 on this bitter cold Thursday morning. So you might have heard a little bit of a strange story involving the Flyers mascot Gritty. And apparently he was there for season ticket holders. And Gritty, of course, has become the mascot of all mascots, right? And there was an incident of alleged assault of a 13-year-old that Philadelphia police are now investigating. The Flyers did their own internal investigation and found no substance to it, that Gritty allegedly pushed the 13-year-old in the back. So the father of the 13-year-old, Chris Greenwell from Delaware, is on the line, and he wants to tell his side of the story. So let's get him on the line up here. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
In a whirlwind 24 hours, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this when I first read about it, I was like, what in the world? What is this story from the Theater of the Bizarre? So why don't you just tell the story in your own words, Chris?
Okay. So basically what happened is I've been a Flyer season ticket holder since 1997.
Okay.
They invited me to a season ticket holder event, and what it was a photo shoot with Gritty for Christmas time. So we go to the Wells Fargo Center where the used to be the AT&T Pavilion. I don't know what they call it now. It might be like the East Side Cafe.
Uh-huh.
The big bar. The big
bar
on the side of the...
I know it well, brother. Yep.
Good. So that's where they were doing the photo shoot. So it's, you know, they take a picture with us with Gritty, and then they print out a copy of it, and then they send us a digital copy of it so we can then print it out of him and send him his Christmas cards.
Okay.
So that's what we were there for.
Sure.
So basically, me and my son, who's 13, we went there, had our picture taken. My son was on the left of Gritty. I was on the right of Gritty. We had the picture taken. After the picture's done, my son walks by Gritty and taps him three times real lightly on his black helmet. Gritty's sitting down.
Uh-huh.
So then after my son walks by Gritty, he gets about, I'd say, 8 feet away, 7, 8, 9 feet away. Gritty then gets out of his chair while my son's not even looking at him and lunges towards my son and punches him in the bottom part of his back, pretty much looked like hard as he could. He had like a running start when he did it. And then my son was like pushed into the crowd of people there. It was really crowded with people right there.
Uh-huh.
And when he hit him, he got lunged into the crowd of people right there.
All right, so
right after...
Yeah, go ahead. No, keep going.
So right after that happened, I'm looking at the whole situation. I'm thinking it's horseplay because everybody knows that Gritty's rough and, you know, that's his moniker
right. That
he's known for. I mean, he even has a rage room upstairs, you know?
Yes.
It's just what he's doing for. So I thought it was nothing to it. You know, my son's just holding his back, and I'm thinking he's fine now. So right after that happens, they sort of, like, escort you out of there so more people can get their pictures.
Uh-huh.
So we go around the other side of the bar, and my son goes, "Dad, why did Gritty hit me like that?" I was like, "I don't know. What did you do to him?" He says, "All I did was tap his helmet, and he got up and he hit me, and I didn't even see him coming." So I was like, really? So I was, I kind of got enraged right at that time.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? I said, let me handle this in the morning with my ticket rep. Because I didn't think he was hurt as much as he ended up being afterwards.
Okay.
So the next day I made a complaint with the Flyers, a real nasty email with them. And I said it to my ticket rep. And I said, hey, I've been a season ticket holder, you know, since 1997. I've never been more embarrassed to be a season ticket holder than what happened last night. I said it was unethical. My son was injured, and my son was downright assaulted. And I said, I want somebody to look into this. I want accountability. So then I get a reply back saying, we're going to forward it over to the, I guess, the legal department. And then I never spoke to anybody else from the Flyers after that. I spoke to their Comcast Spectacor attorney after that.
All right, so a couple things. One, do you have any witnesses with all those people that were there waiting? Were you able to get any witnesses come forward?
Well, I obviously don't know who the people were in the room, but I do have the Philadelphia police did. I had the first names of the Flyers representatives that were working that day, and I gave them to the police, so I'm assuming the police detective is going to interview them. Gritty did admit to the Comcast attorney that he punched my son. But the story that he told the Comcast attorney is that he punched my son in the chest. And I was like, no, that's not the case. If you punch my son, why would I have to take him to a doctor for his back? That makes no sense at all. I was like, there's multiple people that saw it. So when I talked to the lady for the Flyers, I only demanded a couple things. And cuz, let me make this clear.
Uh-huh.
I do not have an attorney. I am not suing anybody. I don't want anything financially from anybody out of this. Somewhere
that's
on
important.
Social media,
yeah.
The story got changed. You know, people writing on social media that this is a cash grab and everything.
Right.
No, this is strictly accountability and justice for my son once we have the proof that this event did happen. So what I asked for, I said, I want accountability, I want an investigation, and I want the results. I also said I want an apology from the team. And I said I want my son's medical bills paid. And the most important part of the piece was, is that I want to see the videotape of the incident. There's three brand new cameras that were just installed right there in that pavilion.
Yeah.
Now the Wells Fargo Center just did a $250 million renovation.
Uh-huh.
A major part of that was that bar right there.
Right.
And there's cameras everywhere. And the Flyers told me that there was no cameras available that day. The cameras were turned off. Oh. I don't believe that for one minute. Those video cameras run 24/7
right.
At Wells Fargo Center all hours of the day.
Right.
So my
right.
biggest demand was I want to see the video. Uh-huh. They refused to let me see the video, and that's the biggest problem this whole thing. I was like, if you did nothing wrong, if Gritty did nothing, release the video so we could see it.
I mean, just say it, right?
They won't do it. They then changed their story a little bit after that and said there was two cameras working that day, but those two cameras were only focusing on the front two doors. The exit going out towards Lincoln Financial Field. Now, what multi-billion-dollar facility or agency or team?
Yeah, no. Listen, I would have the same question that you did. That you would too. I would. What do you mean? There's no the cameras inside weren't on or weren't working. Yeah. Only two were working. That doesn't seem right. I would agree with that. So, real quick, was there anything said? Did your son hear? Did Gritty say anything?
No.
The guy inside the costume? Nothing? He just got up, and you didn't actually see it yourself, right?
Oh, no, I saw it. He came from my backside to the front. Like, I was walking away from Gritty, and my son was walking towards where he exited around the bar, and Gritty went over towards him, you know.
And he punched it, and it was a punch.
It was a punch.
In the lower back.
Punch. Yes. Right above his waistline. So my son ended up having a contusion on his back. He's fine. But he was bruising. He was sore for a week, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I took it seriously. And
I'm a father, right? So I have a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old. If Gritty hit my son and it was malicious intent and not horseplay, then I'd have a problem with it, too. I would be out of my mind. So I can empathize with you in that when it comes to that.
So I tried to work this out with the Flyers. So I said, do the investigation, come back to me, let me see the video. They came back with investigation. They came back and said, oh, we interviewed some people, and we have no substance to it. I said, did you interview this person, that person? And she was like, no. So I was like, they were the ones that were there. I saw them. Why didn't you interview any of them? But she did interview Gritty, and Gritty did admit to punching him, but Gritty said he punched him in the chest, not in the back, which in their sense. But did I ask the other question about the other people that were there? The Philadelphia police went through the picture photos of all the season ticket holders that were there, and like they knew that I was number 81. So they're trying to check all the people from like number 75
right.
to number 90 and trying to match names and faces, I guess, with the Flyers.
Right.
And figure out who they were and see what they saw.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Gritty's handler obviously saw it. The guy walks around with him all the time. And the employees saw it. There was even a post on Crossing Broad where somebody wrote that they were at the same event and they saw Gritty punch my son. Hmm. Post on Crossing Broad. So there's a lot more substance with it.
What's the deal with the Facebook photo and changing the profile to Gritty?
So what that is, I'm a diehard Flyers fan. And I'm a diehard Phillies fan. So after we had the picture, we'll come Christmas time, I put it up about 2 weeks before Christmas. I put it up as my profile picture. That's all it was, is a profile picture for Christmas. To add, you know, Christmas trees or the wrap around it for Christmas. That's the only reason I did it. After Christmas, I got rid of it.
But the incident happened before that.
Yes. The incident happened November 19th. And the only reason that, like, people were...
Like, why would you do... Yeah, like, I would be like... I got news for IBM sense. Gritty would be dead to me in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't my son's Facebook picture or profile or anything. It was just me. So I just did it. Then I changed it right after that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people keep asking, like, why didn't he call the cops at the beginning? Because I never wanted this to go to the police. What I did with this is I let the let it run its course with the Flyers,
right?
And wait for their investigation to get completed.
So you contacted the Flyers right away, right after the incident, yeah.
Exactly. I let them run the course of their investigation, but when they came back to me and said we don't have any videotape of it, and then changed their story and said, oh, a couple cameras are working, but not the ones over there. Something's fishy there. They're changing stories on me.
So what did they come back and did they make you an offer to just to?
Yeah.
What was the offer?
What they did, they wanted to offer me complimentary tickets to a game
uh-huh.
that I was already going to. They wanted to give me seat upgrades. And I was like, I already sit center ice 12 rows from the floor,
right.
from the ice. And then they offered me an all-you-can-eat, all-you-can-drink passes also to make this go away. And I said, you want me to I live in Newark, Delaware.
Right.
I said, you want me to drive 50 miles to the Wells Fargo Center with my 13-year-old son and go to an all-you-can-drink?
Well, I assume that it was more about the food and soft drinks, yeah. right? And they weren't plying you with alcohol.
Yeah, I was like, that makes no sense. I'm not going to...
Yeah, I mean, I think what they were talking about is giving you food and you know, soft drinks. They weren't like, well, you're going to go and you know, we're going to ply with alcohol. I mean, that's not what their aim was. I find it odd that you guys couldn't come to some sort of understanding. Now, just to reiterate, you will file no lawsuit.
Correct.
And that goes from here into the future. So you want nothing to do with any monetary gain.
Nope,
going forward. You will not get the services of a lawyer and sue the team. That's not your aim.
That is not my aim at all.
All I
asked for the team to do, I said, do something special for my son.
Yeah.
You know, let him take a picture with a player or something when this is all done.
Yeah, give you some sticks and stuff. Like, I don't understand why, just to make the thing go away, they're not giving you sticks and a puck and here's a jersey, and then that's
pretty much what everybody else has said, and that's also what the Philadelphia police have said, too.
Yeah, because, you know, otherwise it's a waste of time. Like, it's, you know,
Philadelphia police read all the emails from the attorney from the Flyers.
Okay.
And he was pretty much, it was like a disgrace. You know, he's like, I can't believe that these people are sending you these emails and telling you these types of things where they're trying to obstruct justice pretty much through the whole process.
I mean, the police are correct. I mean,
they're taking it very, very seriously.
Well, but it's absurd in that sense. Now, the gritty thing, it was definitely malicious by what you saw?
Absolutely, yes.
But at first, you didn't think it was malicious?
No, at first I didn't. Just because of his reputation and knowing how he is with fans, I thought it was horseplay.
Well, could it have been horseplay?
Well, not when you do a full punch and you kind of running.
But I got to ask you one thing, though, because you said you saw it right off the bat, and your first inclination was to say that it was horseplay. Why does that change since then?
Because my son was injured afterwards. You know, when we were
that's beside the point, because if you think, you know, unfortunately, he was injured. But if you, at first blush, thought it was horseplay, why can't it still be horseplay? And again, I'm just hearing your story, and I'm just curious.
The bottom line is, you don't punch a 13-year-old child when you're an adult.
I agree with you. But again, you didn't think so in the beginning. You follow me?
Yeah, but just as I said, his reputation is, you know, he roughhouses and everything else.
Could he have been just roughhousing? Like, I find it odd. Like, why would he do that?
And that's what I want to know. And that's why I want the video out there. And that's why the police are going
to... Well, that's my point to you, is like, is it still, you know, could it have been just roughhouse? Listen, if somebody put my in their hands, I don't care what mascot it is, Fanatic, whatever, there would be a rug in my house. So I understand what you're saying. So I understand being upset as a father. I'm just trying to come up, I'm just trying to figure out, like, motive, because that makes no sense to me.
It's
like, why you would punch a kid.
And I want to know that, too. And I can't wait to read the police report after.
All right. Let's follow this. Chris, do us a favor. Let's keep in touch. We're going to put you on hold. We'll get your information. And let's follow this story, okay?
Okay. Can I say one other thing?
Yeah, sure, sure.
A lot of people on social media are pissed at some things. Why do you wait to call the police? I didn't call the police. I gave the Flyers 1 month to complete their investigation.
Right. You said that. Yeah.
When the Flyers came back to me and it said, we had nothing, but we're not going to show you any video, I went to the Philadelphia Police Department so they could subpoena the Wells Fargo Center security system so they could get access to it.
All right.
That's why I went to the police department.
Listen, as a father, again, and again, you've made it clear several times during this conversation that you are not suing the Flyers and that you have not, acquired an attorney to pursue any kind of legal matters with it. So, you know, I'm going to take you at your word, and I would be upset if my son was, you know, befallen in this kind of injury.
Yeah, and the unfortunate part about it is my son's kind of traumatized by it now. I'm wondering how his day at school is going to be, because everybody knows about it. I mean, it was on CNN, it was on ESPN and TMZ, and I have gotten a boatload of death threats over this.
Well, listen, that's all nonsense. It's all salacious. And, you know, I mean, listen, it'll go away, and your son should not be traumatized. I know that kids can be a little cruel and stuff, but let the police, let's figure out what the camera shows and what witnesses say. All right?
Yeah.
And again,
the Flyers can release the tape.
Right. And, you know, maybe, are you still open to the Flyers making this right?
I still love the Flyers. I love hockey. My issue was with the person who was doing Gritty that day.
Right.
And also the Comcast Spectacor attorneys, not the Flyers organization itself.
If they make a special thing for your son and bring him to a game and give him a stick and a jersey, are you cool and that's that?
I'm happy.
All right, Chris.
More than that in the beginning.
All right.
In a public apology.
All right, well, you know, again, they bring him in and they go, here you go, let's make nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's their apology.
Gotcha. I'm okay with that.
All right. Well, let's see if we can make this happen, make it all go away, make your son feel better.
Thanks for clearing the air, cuz.
All right, you got it, Chris. Hang in there. All right, we'll come back in just a moment. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. And we'll get all your calls of people lined up. We want to talk about this Sixers and the nostalgic thing. We'll get all that stuff coming up straight ahead. It's Cuz Radio with the Tunas.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Did you order the Code Red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Gritty! Did you assault that boy? I hate to make light, but, you know. On a text board, Toot says, I want Gritty to get 5 to 10. Listen, let's take Chris at his word, right? Chris said he does not, this is not about financial gain. He has not hired a lawyer. And he's not suing now, nor in the future. That said, listen, and I told him that. If my kid is assaulted, I don't know. Again, the only kind of hole was that if you initially thought it was roughhousing, why did that change? The injury is irrelevant in that sense. If you still thought, if you think he's roughhousing, all right, well, he got hurt roughhousing. Was it malicious is the question. And did he didn't find it malicious in the beginning at first blush? Now, I don't know. Again, they'll get witnesses that were there because he said that, you know, it was packed and there were people there. So obviously people had to see it. I don't know why they don't have to videotape. That doesn't make sense. But if it was malicious and if it felt malicious to me and it was my kid, I can like empathize, man. I'd want that. Gritty would be a throw rug in my house. Be walking on Gritty's head every day of the week.
Would it still squeak?
How crazy the story is. Only Philadelphia, we got the mascot. This popular mascot, somehow, right? Which, you know, it's a mascot. And now all of a sudden, you know, the mascot is a bully. He's a Pro Street bully. He's Dave Schultz.
I'm sitting at home yesterday, and the wife has one of the news apps. I don't know if it's NBC 10 or something. And all of a sudden, it pops up because she gets the alerts. Breaking news. Gritty being investigated for assault. And I'm like, for what? Did he, like, fight the other team's mascot or something like that? And this is just a comical headline. Then we read it, and we're like, really? This happened? Yeah, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you did a good job, though. Lieutenant.
Did you order the Code Red? Gritty. Come on.
Lieutenant Gargano.
Why in the world would... This is the thing I still don't understand. Like, if he hit him and punched him in the face, like, yo, right? Like, why would he get up and go punch that kid? Like, what's going through that guy's mind? The guy inside the costume. Like, what's wrong with you, man? The story of the conversation today surrounds nostalgia. Because Andy Reid, in the Super Bowl, brings back that era of football. And so last night, I guess, it's McNabb and Owens going at it on Twitter. Now, quite frankly, I could care less what those two have to say right now. I really don't. At this point, 2020, after what happened a couple years ago, what does it matter? We got our parade. The thing that we had been pining for, that none of us had ever seen, a Super Bowl. They had never won the Super Bowl. And when they win their first Super Bowl, it renders everything else before it meaningless.
And somebody tweeted in saying, I don't like this logic, because what? Does that mean Brian Dawkins shouldn't mean anything to me anymore? Allen Iverson shouldn't mean anything? No, that's not what you're saying, but it's like, okay, we should be more excited about the current Sixers team that have...
No, here's what I'm saying, just to clarify. There are certain athletes that will always be near and dear to my heart.
Right.
So, Allen, I'm not telling you Allen Iverson didn't mean anything to us. Of course he did. You know, I'm still a little boy with the Julius Erving impacted my life as a, like, wow, that was the first guy I thought, like, defied gravity. And I was enamored. Oh, my God. And, you know, when I remember Bobby Clark when I was little and all those, and Schmitty and all those guys, they all mean a lot to me. And go through the years, you know, Lindros and AI and all those guys. But I'm talking about that era of football, like going back and, you know, thinking about what transpired in Jacksonville and whatever, like why McNabb and Owens couldn't make it work. I'm just tired of it. It means nothing to me. I mean, and quite frankly, and I don't even want to go here because it's going to open up a debate that I really have no interest in having. But I look at McNabb's career and I go, you know, he was a good quarterback. He was not a great quarterback. He was a good quarterback. His career was short by that. If you can just judge him by his peers. I mean, Tom Brady's still playing. Peyton Manning came in the league before him and was in the league well after he was done. I mean, when you look at his seasons, and he had some incredible moments. I'm not telling you he stunk or he wasn't good. He was a good quarterback. And if you go his first full season in 2000, and he had a really good year as a rookie. I mean, he didn't set the world on fire, but he was good. He was real good, and he was real good in 01. And you know, he was great in 04. And after 04, he only has one other really good year, and that's 08, where it kind of comes back. And now, you know, he's gone. His last year with the Eagles was 09. And then he's in Washington, and he's done, and he's in Minnesota, and he's done. You know, it is what it is. I mean, it was a good career. He should be proud of his career. But it wasn't, you know, some epic career. And to me, it's not close to being Hall of Fame. I know people go, oh, he should have been in. I don't think so. Judged by his peers. Hall of Fame quarterbacks at that time that were in when he played, Favre, Manning is really the guy because Manning comes in before him. And he's nowhere near Peyton Manning. And here's the other thing. Like, I agree he didn't have sufficient receivers. However, and this is something you have to point out, he had a great offensive line, and he had great backs, and he had a tight end he could throw the football to. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and then when he finally did have that great receiver, look what happened.
Yeah, he had a great, again, it was a really good year for 10 games. They looked really good.
Right, but I'm saying they all of a sudden had this off-the-field issues, right, where they
well, but again, you know, whatever. T.O.'s a wacko, so I can't blame that whole thing on McNabb. Yeah, do I think McNabb should have spoke out and said, hey, give the guy a contract? Yeah, I mean, it's the smart thing to do. But I'm not going to blame McNabb because T.O. is a lunatic, and he is a lunatic. You know, again, I think he was good. Was he AI as a football player? No. AI was a basketball player than Donovan was as a quarterback. I don't think there's any shame in that. He had a good career.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.